The violence in Iraq has overwhelmed the healthcare system there. Aid agencies say it's near collapse. Neighboring Jordan is one of the few places Iraqis can get advanced medical treatment, but the system there is expensive and it's pay-as-you-go. As NPR's Deborah Amos reports from Amman, many Iraqi exiles say the Iraqi government could do much more to cover expenses.
Tamara Dagestani is a one-woman advocate for Iraqi children desperate for medical care. In a hotel lobby, she gets another cell phone alert. Two more young Iraqi patients have arrived in Amman.
They brought in two cancer children to take to the hospital. The father of one of the child is 4 years old. This is daily, I'm afraid. I tell you, it's one bad thing after another.
Bad because Dagestani has to figure out how to pay for the treatment. She's already raised $250,000, but that money is running out. She heads a humanitarian committee on an Amman business council, but in fact, she is the committee.
Yeah, unofficial, totally unofficial. Yeah, one-man show.
At this Jordanian hospital, treatment is free of charge for a limited number of Iraqis. Doctors Without Borders, a medical aid agency, opened a reconstructive surgery program for bomb blast victims last year. This level of care is impossible now in Iraq, says orthopedic surgeon Dr. Rashid Fakhri, an Iraqi doctor who heads the program. In Iraq, drugs and equipment are missing, he says, and there are other priorities.
The whole system is affected by this violence and by this war. In medicine, the priority is for emergency. We are trying to fill the gap in the health system.
On a hospital bed filled with toys, Saif Wassam sits beside his daughter, Shams. A bandage covers the gaping hole in her jaw. She's already had five reconstructive surgeries, and there are two more to go.
My daughter was hurt in an explosion.
In Baghdad.
Shams's speech is badly slurred. Still, she is an energetic four-year-old, entertained by a noisy plastic truck. The deal here is patients must eventually go home to Iraq. The Jordanian government ensures that return by limiting family members who can accompany the patient.
Only me and my daughter, because they only allow one escort. She always mentions her mom. She wants to return home.
In the room next door, five-year-old Zahra has horrific burns on her thin arms and back. Doctors are trying to save her almost severed left hand. Sajida Hamid reads her stories.
Her grandmother.
Sajida, in a traditional long black robe and headscarf, explains her granddaughter was badly burned when their Baghdad home was hit by a bomb.
She saved her sister from the fire, and that's why her hands caught fire. Her sister died.
Zahra listens intently to this explanation, and her face brightens when asked how she is doing.
I'm comfortable here. They all like me here.
And you can see why, as Zahra performs the English she's learned at the hospital.
I love you. You love me.
It may seem strange to say, but these children have been lucky. They are getting treatment, along with 72 other Iraqi patients on the ward. But there are many more still in Iraq, says Tamara Dagestani. They don't qualify for this specific surgical program, or they can't afford care in Jordan.
Iraq is a very rich country, and it can very well afford to look after its people. No Iraqi needs to suffer. We don't have to worry where the penny is coming from. The pennies are there.
And while the Bush administration and the U.S. Congress have been pushing benchmarks for the Iraqi government, a way to measure progress on a long list of political issues, Dagestani has one specific benchmark she wants to see: financial support for medical treatment that is now impossible to get inside Iraq.
This would make an enormous difference. This would send a message to all Iraqis, all right, this government isn't all bad. We can work with it. But at the moment, we can't work with this government.
Do you think Iraqis feel abandoned by the government?
Yes, definitely. Most certainly. Everyone feels abandoned. What is the government doing for them? It's time they stood up.
The Iraqi government pledged $25 million to help support Iraqis forced to flee the country, but so far, that money has not been dispersed. Deborah Amos, NPR News.